In comparison to some of the solo endeavors of the other Beatles, McCartney was an unpretentious, refreshing album. The head of EMI, Sir Lewis Grey, describes Paul's album as absolutely brilliant. John tells Rolling Stone his feelings about Paul's decision. "I'm telling you what's going on. It's John, George, and Ringo as individuals. We're not even communicating with or making plans with Paul. We're just reacting to everything he does." George Harrison says,
"But it's more of a personal thing, you know, that's down to the management situation, you know, with Apple, because Paul really, it was his idea to do Apple, and once it started going, you know, Paul was very active in there, and then it got really chaotic, and we had to do something about it. When we started doing something about it, obviously Paul didn't have as much say in the matter. And then he decided, you know, because he wanted Lee Eastman, you know, his in-laws, to run it, and we didn't, then that's the only reason, you know, that's the whole basis. But that's only a personal problem that he'll have to get over, because that's the reality is that, you know, he's outvoted, and, you know, we're a partnership. We've got these companies which we all own 25% of each. And if there's a decision to be made, then, like in any other business or group, you have a vote, you know, and he was outvoted 3-1, and if he doesn't like it, it's really a pity, you know, because we're trying to do what's best for the Beatles as a group or best for Apple as a company."
On May 8th, 1970, the Beatles released their last album, the original soundtrack to their movie Let It Be. Right from the start, the project was in confusion. For the first and only time, the Beatles wanted to record outside the EMI studios. One of the throng of their hangers-on in those idealistic days at Apple was a Greek technician and self-proclaimed genius called Magic Alex. He suggested that they record on better equipment, and he would build a new studio in the basement on Savile Row with a 72-track tape machine. George Martin was using an 8-track tape machine at Abbey Road, so of course the Beatles were enthralled, but they had to begin the project before the equipment arrived, so the Beatles asked George Martin to install some mobile equipment. To this day, that 72-track machine has not materialized, along with many other of his brilliant schemes. The original idea was to make a film showing the group recording. George Harrison explains,
"Really, we were thinking of how to do a TV show, but we realized it was much easier just to make it into a film. You know, it was a 16mm film. But it was so nice in a way for, well, it was very informative. It's not really nice for me. I can't stand seeing it. But for other people who don't know what we're really about, who like to go in and see our warts, then it's very good. We're down in Apple rehearsing, and we decided to film it on 16mm to maybe use as a documentary. And the record happened to be the rehearsal of the record, and the film happened to be, rather than a TV show, it happened to be the film of us making the record. So it's very rough in a way, you know. It's nice because, again, you can see our warts, you can hear us talking, you can hear us playing out of tune, and you can hear us coughing and all those things. It's the complete opposite to the sort of clinical approach that we've normally had, you know, studio recording, everything, the balance, everything's just right, and, you know, the silence in between each track. This is really not like that."
But getting up at 7 in the morning and recording at 9 with cameras rolling and people gawking was not what you would call a proper creative Beatle recording environment. There was no overdubbing or special studio effects, just a simple performance by the group in a studio for the world to see. The closest thing to a live performance. George Martin started the recording. Then Glyn Johns, who had been assisting George, was called back to let the Beatles hear the 30 hours of tape. They decided to shelve the project. But Alan Klein suggested that a large amount of Apple capital was tied up in those film cans and tape boxes, and Apple should do something with them. So Phil Spector, their old standby friend and wall of sound producer of the early 60s, was asked to make a sellable product of the tape. The result was a complete reverse of their original idea, with strings, brass, and choral groups overdubbed on various tracks. Between the start and release of the record and film were 16 months of apathy, argument, and altercation. As Alan Smith of the New Musical Express said, "If the Beatles' soundtrack album Let It Be is to be their last, then it will stand as a cheapskate epitaph, a cardboard tombstone, a sad and tatty end to a musical fusion which wiped clean and drew again the face of pop music. When the album was released, it had already sold 3,700,000 copies in advance in America alone. It was the largest initial sale in the history of the American record industry. The first track of the new album was written and sung by Paul McCartney.